Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. I'm your host, Felicia DeRozier. Today, my co-host is...
Cross DeRozier.
And Cross, it's just you and me today, you, me, and the dog, right?
Yep.
Ryan's got some obligations because, praise God, one of her friends is getting married, so there are some pre-wedding festivities, and she's helping take care of it. And, man, it's a blessing seeing younger folks get married, and that's awesome.
And I have dogs on top of me.
You have a dog on top of you. That's good. It's always a good way to be. So today we're going to be talking about God as sovereign or loving Savior. So that should be an interesting discussion, right? Yeah, we're going to be reviewing Romans chapter 9. But before we get into all that, let's go ahead and do our commercial break, and we'll be back to you soon.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet, as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
My fellow Americans, it looks like some things have changed. Are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents?
If you want an abortion, get one!
Younger parents aren't sure that an appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
When I drive into a neighborhood and there are American flags, it's a message of white supremacy.
I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that could result in an erosion of the American spirit.
To completely dismantle the police department.
If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is free, and freedom is special and rare. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. As long as we remember our first principle and believe in ourselves, the future will always be ours. Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people are free. Once you begin a great movement, there's no telling where it'll end.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us.
We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
All right, well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. Again, this is your host, Felicia DeRozier. We've got my son and my co-host here, Cross DeRozier, right?
Yep, and we got the dog.
We've got the dog. Mariah is regrettably busy today. She has some pre-wedding preparations to do, not for her own wedding, but for a good friend of ours, and we're happy to see them have an opportunity to start a new life together, but we're missing Mariah today because of that. And we were hoping to have Shelby Little as our guest. She is also involved in pre-wedding preparations, so we'll actually see her next week. So today we're going to go ahead.
Friday.
Well, we will see her next this Friday, but she'll be on our show next week.
Oh.
Okay. So anyway, so today we're going to have a regular teaching, and then we'll have an augmented teaching instead of having a guest today. So if you're studying with us, if you're following along, please open up your Bible to our key scripture today. We're going to be in Romans 9, and we're going to be studying Romans 9 starting at verse 6 and reading through verse 33. So I'll go ahead and do the scripture reading for us, but let's go ahead and pray first. What do you think? You want to pray for us?
Okay.
I'll go ahead and pray. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to get before your word and to get before other people who are interested in learning more about you, Lord. I pray that everything that comes from my mouth is something that you want me to speak, Lord, that you guide me through this time through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I'm able to say the things that you want me to say and do the things that you want me to do. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your presence, and for my voice, because I couldn't do this for 2 weeks, so praise God that my voice is here today. You know, I'm still feeling a little under the weather. So we thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, we were sick for like 2 weeks, right? I've actually got the scripture up right now, so you don't have to worry about that too much. I'll go ahead and read this part of scripture. Pardon me. You might get a little cough every once in a while. I'm trying really hard to keep myself together. So we're going to start Romans chapter 9, verse 6. But it's not as though the word of God had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it's not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time of year I will return and Sarah will have a son. And not only, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who called, he was told the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. What shall I say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on who I have mercy, I will have compassion on who I have compassion. So that it depends not on the human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whoever he wills. You will say to me then, why does he find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make them out of the same lump, one vessel that is honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of the glory of the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. Even us whom he has called, not from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, as indeed it says in Hosea, those who are not my people, I will call my people, and her who is not beloved, I will call beloved. And in every and in the very place where it has been said to him, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them can be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully without delay. And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would be like Sodom and be like Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, and that is a righteousness that's by faith, but that Israel who pursued the law would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching the law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, and it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.
Okay. That's a lot of scripture, right?
And I think that it's actually kind of a little confusing, okay? So the big question is this, is that in Christian circles we spend a lot of time discussing whether God is just sovereign over everything and makes all the choices, okay, or whether he's this loving Savior who allows us to come to him with free will, okay? And I'm going to go out on this ledge here today as we're talking, and I'm going to say I have a definite opinion of it, but I don't know that it's necessarily a standard opinion, okay? So God is sovereign over everything in the universe. This is clear in the scripture, okay? God created everything. He's still in control of everything. He created it, and he has the right to do with it what he wants. I've often seen these verses used to explain that people are entirely corrupt, unable to submit of their own will to God, and therefore free will has no bearing on salvation, okay? That's what I have seen. I actually see these verses telling an entirely different story, and that will give us some understanding about the standard that God uses to make his sovereign choice. So I'm actually going to tell you, is he sovereign or is he the loving Savior? And I'm going to say both, which is a really unusual thing. I think that we have this duplicitous type of a perspective on this where we go, oh, no, he is sovereign and therefore we have no choice. And then we say, well, he's a loving Savior and therefore he's not exerting any choice. And I think that the answer is really somewhere in the middle, which those people might be eye-twitching who say that God is just sovereign, because then they're like, but then you're minimizing the sovereignty of God. And I don't think I am, and I'll explain why, okay? So bear with me, folks. We're going to explain why. So the choice that he has the right to make, okay, because he's sovereign, he has the right to make the choice, and he can choose to make it however he seems fit, okay? So, Cross, you got up today, okay? Let's not pretend like we're not still in jammies. We're in jammies, right? Okay? We're both in jammies. When you get dressed, you will have the sovereign choice to choose anything in your wardrobe to wear.
Sure.
Mostly. As long as it's clean. Right? Okay? Now, how will you make your choice as to what you want to wear?
Usually depending on how I'm feeling that day and how hot it is outside.
Okay, so you're going to take into account the weather. You're going to take into account how you're feeling that day. What if you decided, okay, because it's your choice to make, what if you decided that you are going to wear red every Monday and blue every Tuesday and black every Wednesday and white every Thursday and yellow every Friday? Could you do that?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm irresponsible.
He says no because I can't get my laundry done on that time. Let's pretend like it was a big deal to you and you could totally get your laundry done. Could you make that choice? I mean,
sure.
You could, right?
I could.
remember, I think we said you wore red on Mondays, okay? So what if you had this really awesome outfit that you wanted to wear on Monday, but it was blue? You have the sovereign choice over your wardrobe to decide, will I wear the blue outfit, or will I stick to my conviction of only wearing red on Mondays? And if the reason I wear red on Mondays is arbitrary, I might decide that I'm going to go ahead and wear blue. But maybe I wear red on Mondays to honor a friend who's fighting cancer. Maybe I will make the choice to wear red on Mondays, even though I'd rather wear the blue outfit. It would still be my sovereign choice. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. You got to speak up because they can't hear you nodding. Okay. So in this chapter, he tells us how the choice that God makes, the sovereign choice, is made. And the fact that he's making a choice based on something doesn't make the choice less sovereign. Still his to make. But he is basing his choice on something. I think we often think about the sovereignty of God, and we think to ourselves it's somewhat arbitrary. He will just do what he will here and not do what he will there. But the Bible actually lays out some very specific things as to how he's basing his choice. And that's important for us to know so that we can know that we are within God's will, right? Okay. So let's start with this. Number one is that not all people will be God's people. That's important to know. Oh, poor Cross. We're all still trying to get over being sick here. So not all people will be God's people. Not everyone will be considered God's children. We see this in verse 8, which I will put back to you while Cross is coughing really quick. Poor guy. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as offspring. And that's referring to the children of Abraham, okay? So we have one child of the promise, okay, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have one child who was not of the promise. He was of, well, really, if we could be really particular about it, specific about it, Ishmael was the child of Abraham's own doing, right? He wasn't.
Hagar's son.
Yeah, Hagar's son. So Sarah's son actually becomes the child of the promise, okay? So the answer to the question is, does God save everyone? And the really important answer here is no. God does not save everyone. Not everyone becomes God's child. Could he? So he's sovereign. And he makes the choice. And the choice is that some people are saved and some people are not. As a sovereign God, God can extend his power as far as he wants, and he can also limit his power. And in that limitation of his power, he can allow for free will. Just like when you were in your wardrobe choosing what you wanted, you could limit your power. Or you could extend your power. You could say, I only wear red on Mondays. Or you could say, I usually prefer to wear red on Mondays, but this time I will make an exception and wear blue. Do you see what I'm saying? You get to decide how to extend that sovereign power of yours in order to be able to do what you want. And this is a really important this is very, very important because I think that this is a concept we see throughout the Bible. I want to talk a little bit about Genesis. This is not in my notes, so we're going to freestyle a little bit here. But in Genesis, when God creates man in his image, okay, he gives man dominion over earth. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So when he gives man dominion over earth,
he's like basically you're the king and queen of earth.
Right. So here's the question. Does that mean that God's no longer sovereign over earth?
No.
No.
Because he's the one who appointed them as king and queen.
Right. So he is just choosing to withhold some of his choices to allow
humans to have free will.
Bingo. Okay. And
humans having free will has traditionally been a huge ordeal for God. Like, this really matters to God.
And angels have free will, too.
They do. And so we see over time that even though God is sovereign over creation and has the right to rule, he certainly seems to allow for free will. And in order for free will to be a thing, whether it's with angels or with humans, that means he's had to moderate his sovereignty to a certain extent. Now, we also see this in Jesus, okay? Now, Jesus, we know, was fully God. He's the begotten Son, okay? He's the begotten Son. So before he gets human form, he's up in heaven with God, pre-existing all of creation. He helped create creation. We don't know what begetting a son looks like for a God, okay? So we don't know how this begetting happened, but we know that he has always existed before the earth.
Maybe he was just like, I'm bored.
Right. I don't know how this works. I'll be honest. I'll probably be curious when I get to heaven and be like, so how'd that happen? But the point is this, is that we know that he beforehand had all of the same attributes of deity that the Father had, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to become human, now, track with me, Will, gods don't die, okay? So he could not be the sacrificial lamb of the new covenant.
Right.
If he couldn't die. That was important, right? Okay, so gods don't die, so he had to empty himself of his own volition of some of the aspects of his deity. For example, once he takes bodily form, he can't be omnipresent.
Or omniscient.
He wasn't omniscient, okay? He probably could have been, but he wasn't omniscient, and we know this because there are several times where Jesus is asking questions. But
and
if you go...
And someone asks him a difficult question, he goes, I don't know.
I was about to say, so there is one example. So before anybody says, oh, yeah, he was just saying he didn't know who touched the hem of his garment. Okay, maybe he wasn't, okay? I don't think he was playing hide-and-seek with us there, but we'll pretend like he was.
We did
for,
that.
Right, right. But we can pretend like he was for the sake of argument, okay? And let's just say that he wasn't playing hide-and-seek there, okay? When they asked him when the kingdom of God was going to come to pass,
he said, I don't know.
He said, I don't know. Only the Father knows. So we know that somehow his omniscience was limited. Do you see what I'm saying? That didn't make him less God or less sovereign of the universe. He really was sovereign. The demons knew it. The devil knew it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what it did was it was him limiting himself in how he was going to exercise his sovereignty. Just like you might limit yourself on Mondays to wearing red clothes.
And also, the way I like to think of when God sent Jesus, the way I like to think of how he was fully God and fully human is if you have, like, two different kinds of liquids in two different, like, cans or bowls or something, and then you put them both in a water glass and then shake it up because then it is both fully that liquid and fully this liquid.
Okay, yeah. So I like to think of it as in Genesis, it talks about how things beget other things in their likeness. Okay? So he was originally begotten of God, which means that he was in the nature of God, right?
And then he got begotten by Mary.
Which makes him in the nature of human flesh. Let that one sit for a second, okay? But I think that's the way that the Bible would have us to understand that, okay? So, because otherwise, like, let's face it, Genesis goes into a ton of detail as to how things are begotten and how they make things after their own image.
Uh-huh.
And we can really clearly see that with our eyes. Like, why do they go into this detail? I really think that that's why, to set us up for the understanding that Jesus was begotten of God and then also begotten of man. So point two. God has always had the same criteria for selecting his chosen people. This did not change with the new covenant, folks, okay? It has never changed. God chooses those who believe in him and by faith choose him as the priority in their lives. He loves people who choose to follow him in faith. I get this because it is so much easier to love someone who loves me. That's why the Bible has to tell us to love our enemies, right? Okay, is it easy to love our enemies?
No.
Is it easy to love our children when they love us back?
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, is it easy to love your mom when she loves you?
Yeah,
that's pretty easy. But is it easy to love the kid that punches you every time that you see him?
No.
Super not. Okay, it's much easier to love people who love you back.
It's also much easier to learn a basic walk.
That's true. Yeah. Of course, God loves perfectly, and he loves and pursues everyone. But he expresses his love to those who choose him. He doesn't shower his love on those who don't follow him in faith. That would be kind of stalkerish and weird. Okay? So in the example of the kid who hits you every time that you see him, if you brought him a present and a card every time you saw him, and you told him how nice he was and how much you like him, that'd be a little bit off and weird, right? Okay, so we don't shower those who don't love us with love and affection.
What do we do?
Well, I mean, we should be praying for them and we should be showing them love anyway. But, you know, we don't go out on the limb and act weird and start showering them with affection. He showers his affection on those who love him and not those who do not love him. So, you know, think of a good boss or a good teacher here. Okay, I'm going to give you another example here. This time we're going to talk about Esau and Isaac because the scripture specifically mentions Esau and Isaac and talks about how one was loved and one was hated, okay, and before they had done anything good or bad. Esau and Isaac are the perfect example of this. Esau was productive. He took care of his father, and yet he treated his birthright and God with disdain. Isaac was deceptive. He was kind of a mama's boy, to be honest. But he coveted God's promise and favor. In other words, there was actually a reason that God loved one and not the other. And that reason was faith. There was one that pursued him and one that didn't. So think of it this way. I know, okay, so you don't have very many teachers, do you, Prof?
No.
No, it's mostly just me, right?
And Dad, but he's also the principal.
So sometimes, because Prof is homeschooled, but you do have co-op teachers and stuff like that. But sometimes, like, you may have many different teachers, okay? And sometimes you like some and don't like another. Maybe they're all good teachers, and maybe they haven't done anything good or bad to you.
Maybe you just like one more than the other if you ever do anything wrong.
Right.
Prefer one.
Right. Okay. And generally speaking, the one that we prefer is the one who is attentive to us, who cares about us. Okay? Poor Cross. He's still not feeling good. So side note, faith, this is important, okay? Because people will say, well, okay, so if Esau didn't have faith in God and Isaac did have faith, then Isaac was approved because of his work of having faith. But faith isn't actually a work. Faith is being persuaded that God's ways are true. We do act upon faith, which becomes a work, but the faith itself is not work. Okay, let's go ahead and see if I can hit through the rest of this. I've been talking too much again. So number three. God has foreknowledge as to who will come to him in faith, but that's not the same as electing them. He is electing people who come to him by faith. They are meeting his criteria by coming to him in faith. Those who come to him by faith become a part of his family and become more and more like Jesus, which is all according to his pre-laid out plan that anyone who comes to him by faith, he will help to make more and more like Jesus. Number four, God puts time and care into crafting everyone, even if he knows that they won't come to God. And this is a good explanation of Romans 9:16. Human will, wishing is not the same as free will. So there's a difference between my exertion, my willing something to be, my trying to make it happen, my
you know, nowadays in the New Age movement, they'll talk about manifesting something. They're trying to make their will known to the universe somehow, okay? This is not what we mean when we talk about free will, okay? We're not talking about me being sovereign as opposed to God being sovereign. It just means that I can make a choice. And the verse is properly understood to mean that God's grace is for those who have faith in him and become dependent on his mercy, not for our own wishing for good things or working towards them. We can't manifest God's favor. It also talks about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. I'm just going to make a quick side note of this, and maybe we'll get into this discussion more later.
Oh, my gosh. I love that chapter so much because, like, the first few times it said Pharaoh hardened his heart.
Right.
But, like, the last few times it said God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
And that's actually exactly where I was going with this, so thank you for bringing that up. Because a lot of people say, well, that's not really fair. Like, if God hardens your heart, like, can you really turn back to God? Well, the fact of the matter is that in every example that we see God hardening someone's heart, they have already made a choice to be opposed to God and to harden their own heart. So he's strengthening their resolve.
But the question I get asked a lot when I tell my friends about that, they're like, well, why would God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Right. But God just helped to complete the work that Pharaoh started himself. He had hardened his own heart against God, right? And then moving forward, God said, okay, if this is your choice, I will strengthen your resolve. And so we do need to understand that if we're choosing to walk away from God of our own volition, of our own free will, that at some point he will not just let us have what we want, but strengthen our resolve.
Well, you want this?
Right.
There you go.
Now, what does this mean for those of us who are not Israelites? I'm going to tell you really quick before we cut to commercial. Number one is that we can be included in God's family as Abraham's offspring by coming to God in faith, because that's what it means to be the offspring of Abraham. And number two, it means that those who hope to earn salvation through the meticulous observation of the law will end up disappointed. You can't have faith in both God's plan for salvation and our own works. God devised the plan for salvation, trusting in Jesus Christ, and that plan won't ever fail. Now, this is actually the entire topic of next week's show. So if you are somebody who struggles with having faith versus works, if you're somebody who struggles with when we sin, trying to figure out how to cover that sin rather than allowing God to bring salvation to that situation.
Make sure you tune in to next week's show.
Yeah, next week is going to be pivotal for you. So I just want to leave us with one more verse before we cut to commercial break, and that's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So that's it for our regular study. And then we're going to go on to our augmented teaching today. And it's going to talk about how we can walk by faith. But let's cut to commercial first. We'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marti.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marti.com. Great deals, good feels. Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
All right, well, welcome back. Did you know this is our 27th show, Cross?
That is crazy.
That's crazy. We've been doing this for a minute now. So welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. It's your host, Felicia. My son and co-host,
Cross DeRozier.
We are so sad to be missing Mariah today, but happy. It's a good occasion. She is...
And have a puppy as her replacement.
And we do have a sweet puppy with us today. Caitlin, as usual, is hiding from the microphone.
She's yelled woohoo.
She's in the living room. She's like, woohoo. That was the best ever. So anyway, she is genuinely like a treasure. I wish she would come sometime. Maybe you guys will get to know her someday, but not right now. We won't make her.
Yeah, maybe when she's like 17.
Right, when she gets over her fear of microphones. So we apologize for all the coughing. We have been down sick. Just so you guys know, we were not just avoiding or being lazy doing the show. We were both down.
Actually.
Super sick for like 2 weeks. And like
we were hacking up lungs.
I don't know. Like, so the second week I was hacking up a lung. But the first week I literally woke up with no voice.
Yeah.
That was bad. And I had a voice when I went to bed that night. It was crazy. So I apologize for the last minute cancellations. We're glad to be back. So now let's talk about how do you walk by faith. Because we just got done talking about this whole Bible study about how we become children of God. And we become the sons and daughters of Abraham, not by biology, okay?
But by faith.
But by faith, okay? Remember this whole conversation that we had about Genesis and the beginning, right?
Beget.
Okay, so Jesus is God's begotten son, and he is in likeness to God in the same way that my begotten son, that would be you, You follow after me in good ways and in bad ways, right? You inherit my sin nature, and you also inherit my nose.
Thanks.
Right? Thanks. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, probably better that you inherited my nose than my sin nature, right?
I think I inherited Dad's hair.
You did, in fact, inherit Dad's hair, and that's not a bad thing, okay?
I saw both of your eyes.
So now we're talking about this whole begetting. In a spiritual form, how do we get born into Abraham's family? We do it by faith, okay? There's like this whole concept there about being born again by faith. And if you guys want to learn more about that, you can go into the Gospel of John. He's got a whole conversation with Nicodemus where he talks about being born of the Spirit.
And he said, how can a fully grown man climb back into his mother's womb and be born again? He's like, dude, TMI, not what I was talking about.
Right. So he didn't say TMI, but that's a good little way to sum up the conversation, right? Like, so here's the deal: is that we're born by faith, okay? Not physically. We aren't the physical heirs of Abraham, or the spiritual heirs of Abraham. So if we're supposed to live and walk by faith to please God, what does that look like? I've spent most of my life following the desires of my flesh and the ideas that I have, okay? And I've been lured into all kinds of beliefs of this world system. right? I was learning something about some beliefs of the world system just the other day, and I was like, whoa, I had no idea. Some of the terms that I was familiar with were really part of like a New Age spiritual system because, you know, I wasn't brought up in that. But God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. What does that look like in a very practical way? Surely God isn't calling us all to leave our family and move to an unknown land like he did to Abraham. Now let's look up a verse here. Let's look up a verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 7. So chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Can you read that for us?
All right. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live side by side.
Is that 6 and 7?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So when we look at the world around us, we are overcome with expectations, responsibilities, and tribulations. We're called, instead of looking around the world around us, to walk by faith and to see God's will and God's plan, even though what's really in front of our eyes can be a little scary, right? Faith is being certain of what you don't see with your physical eyes. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. We demonstrate this conviction by acting upon our beliefs, even when circumstances around us seem to point us in a different direction. So now let's also read John 20, verse 29.
Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Okay, so this is when he's talking to Thomas, right?
Right.
Poor Thomas. He gets called Doubting Thomas because of this, right?
Yeah, he says, because the Lord is risen. Thomas says, I will not believe it until I've seen it for myself. And then he says,
he wants to put his fingers in the wounds, right?
Yeah, weird.
Okay, but legit. Legit, like if you just saw somebody die on a cross, it would be pretty unbelievable to hear that he had risen again, don't you think?
It would be pretty ironic if I died on a cross.
It would be, because your name is Cross. Oh. So I was just thinking, like, what if the other disciples were, like, you know, big jokesters and big pranksters? Maybe he's like, oh, I'm not going to believe you guys. You guys have gotten me time and time again. Like, who knows? Like, maybe he had a reason for not believing it. But let's be honest, like, if you saw someone die, and you were for sure that they were dead. Like, you didn't just think that, like, maybe they were in a sick in a hospital bed, maybe they just passed out or went in a coma. But, like, you saw them.
You physically saw them.
Violent death, okay? Like, violent death.
Well, the two other guys who died in the same way.
Right. Like, you can kind of understand Thomas being like, no. I'm not falling for your trickery here, okay? So clearly we can't just depend on what we see in front of us, because Jesus appeared before Thomas, but our challenge is believing what we can't see in front of us. Now, all sorts of reasons why we can believe that, okay? We're not getting into that right now, though.
I don't know. I'm pretty gullible. I might have fallen for it.
You know?
I was like, really?
So what does this look like in practice? How do we practically trust God in everything? Number one, we give it to God. What should we give to God? What do you think? Like, everything? Everything? Surrender is the name of the game. Remember, wanting to do things our own way is what got us into this mess in the first place. We were made to be in a relationship with God, but now we can't even see its face on this side of heaven. Let's look up 1 Peter. Let's look up 1 Peter. Hang on. I had to nudge him to get the phone. He forgot. 1 Peter, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 8.
Alrighty. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
Okay. So we know that God is real because we experience his presence.
And then we see the genius of his creativity in every person that we see and in the beauty of creation. When we become Christians, we crucify our old life, our flesh, and our worldly desires on the cross with Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And we choose to live our lives today as Christ here on earth. Galatians 2:20. Let's pull this up. Galatians 2:20 actually describes this kind of surrender. Just leave that in your hand, bro. Usually we have both of them helping pull up verses, but today it's just all cross. So praise God he's here.
I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
And I think that's meant to be literal. Like, it's meant to be, I no longer live as myself. I only live as Jesus.
Right.
Think of Jesus in the garden. Think about how, okay, great. Sorry, my daughter came in and say hi, Caitlin, at least. She won't say hi. Okay, so think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was so stressed that he was, like, sweating blood. Like, he does not want to go to the cross. Like, he does not want to be ashamed. He doesn't want any of the things that are going to happen to him. And, I mean, I wouldn't either, would you? Like, that's kind of awful, right? So you can understand him not wanting these things. When we cling to our own desires, dreams, goals, ways, identity, and past, we leave no room to identify with Christ. I'm going to repeat that because it kind of felt like that was, like, a thing. Do you think that that's a thing? I felt like it. Okay, so here we go. When we cling to our own desires, dreams, goals, ways, identity, and past, we leave no room to identify with Christ. We have to give it all to God, and surrender is the only way to victory. I thought that was a nice line. No kudos for that? Cross says, it's a lot harder when it's just the two of us. I have to talk more. Is that right, buddy? It's still early in the morning for him. Okay, number
it's
two.
It's early in the morning.
It's not. It's like almost 10, dude.
It is.
Okay, so number two, we have to see the way God sees. Sometimes we look around at our circumstances and we lose heart. The world is broken and even the people we love the most are broken. That can be tough, right? Like, we live with people, we love them, and sometimes even, I have to tell my kids a lot of times, like, we're adults, but we're still people and kind of messed up still sometimes. I'm not always going to do the right thing, right? Like, I try. I can try to do the right thing, but I'm not always going to hit the mark, am I?
No,
sometimes I have to come to my kids and go, like, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I don't yell very often, though, do I?
No.
No, I'm
usually pretty... It's just for a bad mood because you're stressed and in a rush.
I usually warn you, too. I'm like, dude, so listen, I'm not okay today.
That's why I always...
So I'm like, I'm not okay today. Don't poke the tiger. No poking the tiger today. So sometimes we can look around at our circumstances and lose heart. The world is broken, and the people we live with sometimes are broken. Walking by faith means seeing the world the way that God sees it. I often marvel at the calm present in the lives of many mature Christians. When I begin to worry, they still have peace. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Right, I've seen some really amazing Christian friends of mine, and I'm thinking about one in particular who's faced some really crazy hardships, who's seen, you know, kids pass away in their family, like their children pass away, a couple of them. And you know, obviously they're grieving and they're mourning and they remember and it's hard, but somehow the peace of God is pervasive in their life and they are able to continue to move on.
Cross, I need you to pull up 2 Kings chapter 6.
I love the Book of Kings.
It's such a great book.
Kings what?
Chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 15. So this is a story that I don't know if you're familiar with. I think you probably are. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a good one. So this is Elisha's servant, okay? They are, let me kind of set the stage a little bit. They're preparing to be invaded, okay?
Right.
They're in Israel. They're not preparing for war. It's just him. It's the prophet and his servant and his armor bearer,
and,
okay?
Like, the army of Assyria, they have, like, swords, bow and arrows, battering rams, like...
And there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
And there's just them. It's just them. And the servant is very understandably freaked out. Like, you know, like he is very understandably beside himself in this situation.
And
he's like,
by the
oh,
way,
no.
They woke up stressed because they went by night and surrounded the city.
Right, right, right. So they wake up. They wake up to the situation.
They wake up to this.
Yeah, and it's very clear to the servant. What do you think he's thinking?
Oh,
today
die.
Is a good day to die. But he doesn't think it's a good day to die. He's very upset, right? He's like, we're doomed. We're done for, right? Now, do you want to start reading over there from verse 15 to 19? So that they can hear you good.
When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. So that's what the servant wakes up to.
Bad way to wake up. Talk about what waking up on the wrong side of the mat.
Oh, no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Do not be afraid, the prophet answered. There, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed, Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, just as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, this is not the city. Follow me, I'll lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria.
Okay.
And in Samaria, they show up to the king of Israel's palace.
Yeah.
And
they all get captured.
Yeah.
That's the long story short is that God strikes them with blindness. Okay. Okay, so check this out. The servant was stressed.
Because he thought he was going to die.
And why did he think he was going to die?
Because there was a huge army that was about to kill him.
Right. He's just seeing this physical circumstance, right? Now, one of the things that I think is interesting is the Bible never actually says that Elijah can see the army. We don't know if Elijah could see the army or if he just trusted God. Maybe he could discern the army. Maybe he couldn't.
He trusted God.
But he trusted God. But he asked God to open his servant's eyes so he wouldn't be afraid, right?
Right.
And, of course, God comes through. Now, what's interesting also is, this is crazy, when God opens up his eyes, he sees this host of angelic warriors ready to fight on behalf of Israel. But did they have to fight?
No.
God strikes the army with blindness and allows Elisha to lead them like little puppy dogs with a treat to the king and get captured. Right? So he doesn't even use the army. The army is literally just there to make Elisha's servant feel more comfortable. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. You know what I'm saying? The army wasn't even necessary.
They're like, hey, man, how you doing?
Right? Let's pull up 2 Corinthians 4:18 while we're talking about how God just sees reality differently than we do. Do you have the verse there? Nope, he's still working on it. We're looking for 2
Corinthians
4:18.
4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Right. Right. Isn't that crazy? So there's so many examples of this. That story of Elijah happens to be one of my favorite ones. But, man, if you look through the Bible, there's so many times that you see God working in unexpected ways that defies what we see. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? That means he still works in that way. So we can trust him in our circumstances. God just has a totally different understanding of the big picture than I do. And on top of that, he even has a totally different understanding of the little picture, my current circumstance, than I do as well. So number three, we can stand on his promises. The Bible is full of promises that God intends for you to have. Let's look at this verse here, Isaiah 55, starting in verse 10 through 11. Isaiah, there you go.
Isaiah 55.
It's a long book. 10 through 11.
As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth by making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. We're all eaters.
Right.
So is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Okay, so let's talk about rain for a minute. This is going to be an interesting conversation because those of you who don't know us, we're from Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is a vast desert, okay?
Yeah.
What happens when it rains in Vegas? It floods, right?
Yeah.
It floods. Okay. We get lots of flash floods because, oddly enough, the soil in the desert here is so hard that it is very difficult for it to absorb rain if we get a lot of it all.
Right,
flood.
So it just bounces off. It just all comes down into a flash flood.
Right. So it's interesting that this verse says this because it talks about how God's word is like the rain, that it doesn't return void. It doesn't evaporate without accomplishing what it wants to do. Now, even though we have the flood, and it may look like to our physical eyes, like the rain's not accomplishing what it should do. It's not watering the earth like it should, right? What happens in Vegas after the flood if you go out to the desert?
It's going to be wet.
It's going to be wet. And we get all sorts of flora that we don't normally have, right?
Yeah.
Even the desert has this green flora that will invigorate every time that there's even the slightest rainstorm. It just doesn't require much water. And the desert goes into bloom. It's really quite beautiful. If you've never lived in the desert or understood this, it's really amazing to watch how the desert blooms when there's rain. And so what this verse is talking about is that God's promises are like that. He set forth his promises in his word. For those of you who don't understand this, I'm just going to, like, really quick just gloss over this. I think we did a whole show on this. If you look up covenants, we did, like, a whole, like, half-hour segment on this. But I didn't understand this at first, so I want to throw it out there, that when you're looking at biblical promises, there are specific promises that are for people in the Bible. It might be for a particular person. But all the broad promises that apply both to the believers post-Christ of God, but also to the nation of Israel, those all are going to apply to all of us that are in the new covenant with Jesus Christ, because Jesus fulfilled all of the Old Testament covenants and the New Testament covenant. So they all apply to us, okay? He intends those things to happen, and they're like rain. When it comes down to the earth, it will accomplish what it is meant to do. As long as we have faith in God and we put our faith in him, he will accomplish through us what he says he will in his word. And that doesn't mean that I can come up with a random promise. God promised that I could have a Mustang.
And
those other things.
Something else, my childhood TV shows lied to me. Raindrops are not shaped like raindrops. They are circles.
circle. I don't know. My childhood cartoons lied to me, too, when I whistle and sing that I don't have woodland creatures coming to help me clean my house.
Right.
That's what I'm most disappointed in life. We're going to have talk with this. Anyway, I have issues, y'all. All right. So, and of course, the greatest promise that God's word will accomplish is that of Jesus Christ, that he has once and for all, his ultimate sacrifice has atoned for all of our sin and restores our relationship to God without our ever having to do anything but have faith in him. We can trust in this promise. Another amazing promise from God is Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future."
And he was actually talking directly to Jeremiah in this verse. In the verse before, he said, I created you, I set you apart in the womb. I created you to be my prophet.
Yeah, have you ever read Jeremiah? His life is kind of rough.
Yeah,
I can understand him, God needing to explain this to him. Like, I really did plan good things for you.
And he was like 14, too. He was like Caleb's age. He's like,
it's kind of
why?
Crazy. It was kind of crazy. So how about Romans 8:28? That's another great promise there.
And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Because bad things are going to happen here on earth, right? The earth is broken. Okay.
The earth is broken. People are broken. We're all broken.
Okay. And you can tell that there's something just very not right here, right? We were not meant to live an existence without being in relationship with God.
Right.
Okay. And we also were not created to live in a world with sin and brokenness. So, of course, it's hard that we have trauma and that we have, you know, that we have emotional scarring from living here.
And we're supposed to all live in the Garden of Eden in peace and harmony.
Right. So, you know, we have to develop coping mechanisms on our own. That wasn't programmed into us because we weren't meant to live in a sinful world. Okay?
We're meant to live forever in the Garden of Eden.
Right. But keep going because the Bible is full of promises. Like, look in your Bible and find all the promises. There's a ton of them. Walking by faith involves being so convinced that God's way is the truth, that we change the way we live in order to be in accordance with the truth of God, even when our circumstances make that change seem utterly ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Miraculous ladybug. So it's time to cut to commercial breaks, and we'll open up for questions and answers. Be really great if any of our friends called in today. This would be a good day for that because, let's be honest,
we need some help.
Just the two of us. So let's cut to commercial break. We'll see you back in about 3 minutes.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty,
you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marti.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marti.com. Great deals, good feels.
All right, well, welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia Drozier, my amazing co-host, my son, Ross. Ross, whoop, whoop. Just so you guys know, he's my 11-year-old son, and he is wise beyond years. He is pretty awesome. I really enjoy doing Bible study with you, bro. He's snapping his fingers, and he's all excited. Okay. They can't hear that, so I have to tell them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing a play-by-play. So,
not an amazing snapper.
Right, right. So now we just talked about God as a sovereign or a loving Savior, right? And then we did this whole thing on how to walk by faith. So this is a great time for us to open up to questions. Our guest call-in number is 319-527-6208. That is 319-527-6208. We do also have the chat room open. If you are joining us by Blog Talk Radio, you can actually go ahead and type in, key in your questions, and we'll be happy to read them live on air. If you decide to call in, press 1, and that will give us a little hand sign, like looks like a raised hand in there, and that lets us know that you actually want to talk to us, which is awesome. So here's the first question. Are you ready? Have you ever been tempted to earn your salvation by being a keeper of the law? By doing all the good things.
To what your salvation?
Have you ever been tempted to earn your own salvation by being a keeper of the law, by doing all the right things instead of by just trusting in Jesus?
Not really.
No, you've never tried to just be a good person?
I tried. It didn't work out very well.
It doesn't work out very well when you do that, right? It's a constant frustration, right?
Eventually, you're like being nice and being nice and being nice, and then one day you just crack.
So eventually what ends up happening is that so we have the law all laid out, right? And people tried to earn their salvation by following the law, which is impossible, right?
Right.
And we always see our sin and our failure ever before us, okay? But it can be really, really hard to just say, I accept God's terms and I'm going to go my own way once in a while, right? But you can't be both walking in faith and trying to earn your own salvation. So the law eventually, instead of being the thing that convicts you, when you're walking by faith, the law suddenly starts to become household rules. Okay? So when you break the household rules cross, because we have household rules, everybody does. We don't have them posted on the wall. Okay? But you know them. If you break the household rules, are you concerned that you're going to get put up for adoption and kicked out of the family?
You know, not always, but sometimes I did something bad enough to figure you might disown me.
I would never disown you. I think you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was legit funny. So you don't generally figure you're going to get disowned from the family. You just, you know, kind of go to mom and dad and go, hey, I messed up. This is what I did. Please help me fix it, right?
Right.
You know? And so... it goes from the thing that's going to exclude you from heaven to being the household rules. Now, like, I'm honest enough to say at this point in my life, I truly get that I'm still not fully submitted to Jesus. Like, I try really hard, but I'm still not fully submitted to Jesus. And I still think to myself, like, if I were to go to heaven right now, I don't fully understand how I can be in full submission to God. Like, I want to be, but I'm just still not. Now, I won't have my flesh, but then if you think about it, both Lucifer and Adam and Eve, they all sinned without having corrupted flesh.
Right.
So I've still got some work to do on submission, right? Like, this is important. How about this? As a child, you're still a child, okay?
Were that means you... I have expertise in this area.
Yes, you are. You're our local area expert as being a child. Okay. So as a child, were you taught about God as a loving Savior or a sovereign Lord? And how does that affect your view of God?
I don't really know.
You don't know about what? Were you taught about, let's start with the first question. Were you taught about God as a loving Savior or a sovereign Lord?
Both.
Both, okay. So I have taught you both of this from time to time, and church has supported that teaching, right? Okay. So we have the understanding God's in charge,
right?
But also that he loves you and wants to save you.
Right, like he's like a loving father or a loving mother. Like, he still loves us, but he's in charge, and he'll let you know if you cross the line.
Yeah, because I'm sovereign in my house too, right?
Yeah. Nope. So look in your eyes, you're like,
I don't know, I think maybe we're going to have a talk after this. I don't know, like, maybe I'm meaner than I think I am.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not meaner.
It depends on how mean you think you are, but like,
I don't know.
I don't think you're that mean.
You don't think I'm that mean?
Sometimes.
You know, when you put the word that in there, that means I'm still mean, just not like you can come up with someone who's
not like,
Hitler, not like Lucifer. Not that bad. There's not a Joseph Stalin in here, but not mass murdering people. I think.
So anyway,
I think we're gonna have a long discussion after this show. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to our third question. Has this passage been confusing to you in the past? What do you think? Do you think that that passage was kind of confusing?
Which one?
The one that we read for the Bible study that talks about the lineage of Abraham being by faith. And then I think that the word that trips most people up is election. Because when we think of election, we think of God making a sovereign choice arbitrarily. I think it's that arbitrary nature that really kind of trips us up. That when we think of election, we think of our choice, but... And maybe this is something that we should consider culturally for our political elections. It shouldn't be arbitrary, but we do kind of think of election being arbitrary. Whatever God's will is, if it's his will to do this, he does this. And the verse does say that. If it's his will to do this, it's his will to do this. If it's his will to do this, he does that. But at the end of the verse, what it comes down to is he says, what it is that it's his will to include people in Abraham's family by faith.
Right.
Okay, which brings it right back to free will. How would you explain this to a younger child?
I probably just wouldn't.
You probably just wouldn't, you don't think?
Just avoid the topic altogether.
I think it would be really scary because I think that we have a tendency to project our own experience from our earthly father onto our heavenly father. And let's face it, not all of us have had a good experience with a gentle, loving, caring earthly father. Now you do. Okay. Like, and if I can give just 2 seconds of praise to my husband, Joe. Maybe I need longer. He really is one of the kindest, most compassionate, thoughtful, giving people I know. That's part of the reason why I'm with him. And so he's generous. He gives you good gifts, right? And Cross is laughing, okay? Because my husband is the ultimate giver of good gifts, isn't he? We're not millionaires, so you're not getting a pony. But I constantly tell people not to give my husband gift cards. Why is that?
Because he will spend it on us.
He spends it on his children every single time. He
and
just,
when I remind him to use it, he's like, oh, here you go. I'm like, no!
No, that's not what we meant. We did not mean for you to use it on us. We meant it to use it for you.
Like, one time we actually went to Bass Pro Shops, and we were, like, actually holding him. And we were like, you need to spend it on yourself.
He has a hard time with that. It is his great joy to make sure that his children have everything that they want and need.
Right.
It is his pleasure to do that. So you've had a really great experience with a truly loving father who expresses love well. I would say that. Dad really does express love well. Okay?
Yes, he does.
He does. Not every father does that. Some fathers didn't come from a household that expressed love well. They have challenges that make them feel like they have to stay isolated. But your dad is really good at expressing love well. So I think that it can be really confusing for a young child if they see God as just a, you know, sovereign Lord, to think of them as a dictator with high expectations. So they tend to think of God as like this dictatorial father waiting to punish them anytime that they do something wrong. Now, this is clearly not the way that you've grown up. As a matter of fact, in the household, I'm usually the disciplinarian, right? And we have already discussed that I'm not very temperamental, right? That's a little bit more touchy, but he doesn't tend to discipline. I am, right?
And it's a little better than I don't usually do a lot of bad things.
Yes, no, you are a very good boy, so you don't give me very much opportunity to have to discipline, right?
Oh, no,
that's no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing that you're a good boy. It's awesome. You don't have to worry about it too much, but I think that some people can have this negative experience with their dad that can make that concept of sovereign Lord very difficult to handle. But I think that it's important to understand that God is sovereign and is able to enact justice at any time, but that he restrains himself because he's a loving Savior. Because more than anything, his heart's desire is to see his family grow and extend, and to see his children thrive and have, what did they say, to have life, but to have it abundantly. Right. And so that doesn't mean, and that's not about wealth, that's not about money, that's not about acquiring items, but that is about us understanding and knowing God and experiencing the richness of the character growth to become more and more like Jesus and to be less and less connected to our sin. So do you have anything that you wanted to add to that for the Bible study today?
I think I'm good.
Nothing else that you were like, this was a great story that I thought of, or?
I really like the Nicodemus and Jesus one.
You do?
TMI.
TMI, he says, TMI. If that was a thing, maybe Jesus would have said that.
Probably.
Whoa, yo, TMI.
And the funny thing is about this show is people have recommended that we do it, like, on camera. But we're like, yeah, we're in our pajamas.
We would have to get dressed, huh?
Yeah, that would require effort, and that's just not, that's not okay.
Maybe in the future. Maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future when we have our act together.
But maybe not at 9 a.m.
Maybe we'll have it scheduled for, like, 10 to 11 or something.
Right. Should give us a little more time. Well, anyway, guys, I think that that's the end of the show. God bless. I do want to mention we've been doing some local park meetups for those of you who are in Las Vegas. We will be doing one of those next week so that we can worship and we can pray for revival. But we're also getting started in the very starting phases of planning a big event for Las Vegas.
Embrace City?
for Grace City, right? We're going to pray for Grace City. So we're actually going to meet at one of the local parks here in Las Vegas, and we'll have some time of worship and some prayer and some praise, and I'm going to decorate up my car.
And we call it Grace City now because where sin abounds, grace abounds
much more. Grace abounds much more.
Because it used to be called Sin City. So.
Right. So here we have this really great freeway. It's called the 215, and it literally encircles the city. It actually makes a full circle around the entire city of Las Vegas and Henderson
cool
as well. It is a cool freeway. And so we're going to use this as an opportunity to surround our city in prayer. So we actually have a time already set up on here that we're going to have the show available for people to call in, or you can listen online, and we can engage in corporate prayer. So a lot of our prayer will be specific to Las Vegas. So if you're not in Las Vegas, you can totally tune in. It's going to be on May 7th, okay? And we'll probably start the prayer right around 6:30, 6:45, somewhere around there. And you can feel free to tune in and drive around your own city and pray around your own city. But if you're local to Las Vegas, we'll be meeting at the Aliante Nature Discovery Park. And we'll be decorating up our cars, and we'll be praying as a city for the city of Las Vegas. So we're excited about that. Doesn't that sound like a fun event?
Yep.
So it might just be like us, our family, but it might be a couple hundred people that God's called. Like, who knows?
What?
Who knows? So
you still going to post it all over Facebook because you have like a million followers.
We're gonna post it all over Facebook. I don't know about a million followers, but I'll also connect with some of my friends who are pastors at different churches and see if we can get a good group of people, because
maybe they can even set thing as a church event for that church.
It would be super fun. Yeah. So, you know, because prayer can move mountains, right?
Yep.
And so we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for a spirit of revival over
Grace
City. Woo! So anyway, it was great seeing everybody today. We're logging off just a little bit early, but I think we're all done. All right, so you guys have a blessed week, and we'll see you next week. Hopefully our guest, Shelby Little, will be able to make it then. And, man, I'm really excited about the teaching for next week. I started it already, and I'm like, yes, it's all the things, you guys. It's all the things. This is, like, literally one of those things that, like, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, I know this is spiritual truth, but I don't know where the scripture justification is for it. Like, but I know that this is really the way that God operates, because I see it, and now I've got this scriptural justification for it. So I'm so pleased to be able to share it with you guys. I will see you next week. Have a wonderful week.
Goodbye. Bye.